Blog Talk Radio.
After the 11 o'clock hour, as we discuss the world of sports, as always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can always follow me on Twitter at William Gerald, or hit me up on Facebook at facebook.com/TheRealQuinn. Call number is always 347-215-6180. We'll begin, though, getting away from sports for a couple minutes here, as everybody, I'm sure, knows by now that the suspect in the Boston Marathon bombing this past Monday, both suspects obviously have been caught. One, you know, obviously they were brothers. One was killed. The other one, the younger one of the two, was caught last night in a boat in Watertown, where he was found by one of the local residents who just happened to just be, you know, kind of just walking around and noticed some blood on the boat, and, you know, just was able to identify the suspect, called the cops. Cops came and, you know, did what they do. And I'm assuming there was gunshots fired. You know, there was some gunshots fired from the suspect, and it was if you want to call it a gun battle, before he eventually gave up. I don't think, you know, they're still trying to find out. I don't think he was hit last night with gunfire. I think he was already bleeding from a prior wound. Remember, they had a shootout. He had a shootout that involved the police. He and his brother, that killed his brother, and unfortunately ended up killing a MIT officer, and also wounded a transit officer as well. So a lot happened. A lot has happened in the last, say, 36 hours from, say, Thursday night on to, you know, from Thursday night, really the last 26 to 28 hours from Thursday night into Friday evening. But he was apprehended at around 8:45 last night, which put the ending to just a horrific week. If you're American, especially if you live in the New England area, the Boston area, Connecticut, that particular area has everything, you know, the death of three people, you know, four people lost their lives, three people at the race, 170 wounded. You had the transit cop, you had the MIT officer killed. Of course, one of the victims was a young boy who was, I believe, 8 years old. And just one of the, you know, there, and, you know, the crazy thing about this whole situation is, you know, the suspect gets caught on the anniversary, the 18th anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing. I saw that last night. It was crazy. Yes, it was the 18th anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing. MSNBC was going to do a special on that in regards to Timothy McVeigh and some of his confessions, but of course, this was, you know, the Boston. This situation in Boston took everybody's news coverage, so that did not get done. But again, April 19th, 1995, 168 people lost their lives down in Oklahoma City Oklahoma City due to that bombing situation, which nobody, as long as you live, you will ever forget. This obviously is a scary situation, and sometimes, I was here, I heard, Mike Barnicle on a couple of interviews yesterday, a couple of audio interviews, and he made some great points. We forget sometimes about terrorism. You know, as Americans, we're caught up in, money. We're caught up in a variety of issues, abortion, immigration, things that, things that have certainly have caused the hair of one Barack Obama to get grayer and grayer over the years. Terrorism is not going anywhere. I mean, you have groups. I mean, there are plots to blow something up, that get thwarted every day. We just don't hear about them because we don't have that kind of access as, CIA, FBI, intelligence, things of that nature. It's just, it's almost scary to think, the hate that people have towards America. So, and we have to be reminded every so often that, it's kind of become a way of life in terms of some of these just malicious acts towards America. You remember the terrorist plot that was thwarted in Times Square a couple of years ago? Or how about the one in Chicago on the Chicago airplane that was thwarted, that was going to blow up a plane? I believe that was like last year or maybe a year before last. So, so it's very real. It's obviously very scary. A couple of things about this story, about this whole situation that bothered me the most was, obviously, and first of all, hats off to the Boston police for the job that they've done under, intense pressure, catching him, catching these guys within a week of what happened, within basically 3 or 4 days of them blowing, of them setting off the bombs at the Boston Marathon on Monday. They were on them the entire time. And that's the scary part about the situation. Well, first of all, let me get to a point to where I was just disgusted. The media's coverage on this thing, as far as leaking information, as far as some of the information that came out, was just an absolute disgrace. First, you had CNN and the Associated Press coming out on Wednesday that one suspect had been arrested, which was the furthest thing from the truth. I mean, it couldn't be. I mean, they had, I'm sure there were some leads in terms of where they possibly could be at, but there was nothing even close to an arrest. And that information gets leaked out by CNN, and I watched CNN, and I couldn't believe it. I absolutely couldn't believe it. Then you have, for whatever reason, the FBI or police department wants to give out information to the media about how the bomb was made, about or what the contents of what the bomb was made in, whether it's pipes and pressure cookers, homemade pipes and a pressure cooker. I don't understand that from the standpoint of, that encourages another Yahoo to go out there and make a bomb. So I didn't understand that particular part from media perspective. I think you have to be more intelligent, and I think the police have to just be smarter about providing the media with information. And of course, the media goes and runs with it. The scariest thing about this situation is the fact that these two guys were not, to me, the 19-year-old, 26-year-old, they to me were small potatoes in the grand scheme of what possibly could be, even something much bigger. Small potatoes. I mean, how intelligent could these guys have been if they didn't even get out of the Boston area? You're telling me you blow up, you set off a bomb at a major race, at one of the most famous marathon races in the country, and you stay in that same area the entire week, and you try to rob a 7-Eleven? I mean, come on. Yeah, they actually went and robbed the 7-Eleven. It's just, these are not, if criminals of this ilk can pull off something like that, what can some real you know, highly intelligent, you know, criminals do. That's the scary part. And not that I'm a writer on Homeland or something, but I mean, I just think that they are just, they're just pawns on the chessboard as far as I'm concerned. I didn't think there's no way to me that these guys came up with this plot and with this scenario. They're small potatoes as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, again, hopefully, you know, they have the one suspect in custody. They can get information out of him. He's right now, I'm not going to say he's on his deathbed, but he's right now obviously in serious condition. He was wounded when the police officers found him. So we'll see what transpires out of that. But thankfully, for now, this situation has been that Boston, people in Boston and that New England area can rest a little bit easier. Just getting started here on this latest edition of the Serial Clip Review. We'll be up for the next hour or so as we get ready for the NBA playoffs. We'll be right back. We'll be right back with a look at the NBA playoffs. That's that and much, much more on this edition of the Serial Clip Review. Of the Serial Clip Review, as we discuss the world of sports, 347-215-6180 is your call number. Of course, I am on the chat line for my blog talk radio audience as well, so you can chime in with any questions or comments. A lot to do on this busy program. Of course, we'll do some NFL stuff, so a ton of NBA, of course, as the playoffs will begin in a couple hours or so. First game, ABC, Knicks, Celtics. One of the few times you will ever see that the Knicks are actually favored in a series against the Celtics. I'm sure there has not been that many times in the history of the NBA where the Celtics have been an underdog to the Knicks, but that is certainly the case this year as the Celtics come in as a number seven seed. The Knicks come in outside of Miami Heat, the hottest team in the NBA, and that's where we're going to begin as far as the NBA goes, is with the Miami Heat, because they are the story going into these playoffs. Can anybody beat them? Is the question. And I'll just get the drama out right now. No, nobody can beat the Miami Heat unless injury withstanding in a best of seven series. The Heat this year have frankly been, you know, once they got past the first, you know, 2 months, once they got past November, December, since January, they've been just flat out dominant. We all know, of course, about the 27-game win streak that they had. They had in March that was ended by the Chicago Bulls. you know, how they ended the season. I mean, look how they ended the season. They ended the season 37-2. They finished the season 66-16, the best record a team has had since the, well, it hasn't been that long, since the Cleveland Cavaliers in 2009. Another team LeBron was on was 66-16 as well, but that team wasn't nowhere near as talented as this Miami Heat team that features more than likely three Hall of Famers in James, Wade, and Chris Bosh. But the difference is this year for them is the role players. Their role players, you know, look how their role players played down the stretch in games where James, Wade, and Bosh would take turns taking off. You have role players, you know, Ray Allen, the Mike Miller's of the world, Shane Battier's of the world, you know, getting 20 points, getting 15 points. I loved how Eric Spoelstra used his role players to get ready for the playoffs. And that's what that was basically a training camp for the role players. And he did a masterful job in terms of how he did that. And again, to me, they go in as biggest favorites to win the NBA championship since the 96 Bulls. 96 Bulls, of course, that year, a historic year, was 72-10. They ended up 15-3 in the playoffs. And we knew that they were going to win the championship that year. It was just a matter of how many games, who could contend with them. And remember, that year you had Orlando. You know, the Magic with Penny Hardaway and Shaquille O'Neal, who a lot of people thought could contend and possibly beat them. You don't even have that this year, to be honest with you. You don't even have that. I mean, you look at the three teams who match up the best versus Miami, has the talent to beat them. I look at the Knicks, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, and San Antonio, probably in that order. And the Knicks just don't have enough weapons. I do think that if the Knicks played Miami, it would be a very good series and extremely competitive. But the Knicks just don't have enough overall weapons to take out Miami. They just don't have enough. They don't have enough firepower. I don't think they guard well enough to take out Miami. Oklahoma City just flat out does not match up. We know that they're a jump shooting team. They have no inside presence whatsoever. And that's what you have to deal with Miami. You have to have somebody that can pound them inside. San Antonio, to me, has the talent, has the experience, has the talent, has the inside presence with Duncan and Splitter. They're just not healthy right now. San Antonio, you know, we'll break down the playoff matchups later in the program. But San Antonio right now is the walking wounded. Now, are they playing possum? I don't think so. I mean, with Parker, Ginobili, those injuries are real. They're going to play, but how effective those guys are going to be will certainly remain a question moving forward. So look at those three teams. Those are the only three teams I think that can remotely have a possibility of contending with Miami. Again, it's Miami's championship to lose as far as I'm concerned. How many games will they lose? Probably two to four. I say you're looking at a 16-2, 16-4 run. Even the Chicago Bulls of 96 lost three playoff games. They only lost one during the Eastern Conference playoffs, lost two in the finals when they were up 3-0. A lot of people think that up 3-0 against Seattle, that they kind of took a couple games off. That was a very good Seattle team. That Seattle team was a 64-63 win team in its own right. So you have to give them some credit. But, you know, even teams that have dominated, I mean, even the Bulls of 97, that was 769-13, lost four playoff games. So, you know, they could lose two or three playoff games. But they certainly, the Milwaukee's going to be a sweep. Milwaukee's going to be a sweep without question. Maybe they lose a game. Maybe they lose a game or two if they play the Knicks. Maybe, you know, if Chicago plays them in the second round, maybe Chicago can get one game off of them. They will not lose more than three games in my eyes. So again, Miami goes in as the prohibitive favorites to win a championship. I don't think they can go undefeated in the playoff series. I think it's just too hard, and I'm not sure that focus is going undefeated in a playoff series. To be honest with you, 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we'll be back with today's headlines. 22 minutes after 11 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Serial Court Review. Big Ten realignment is going to not only realign the divisions, the conference, but rename the divisions. It's going to be called the East and West Divisions. And starting in 2016, it's going to be called the they're going to have like 9-game conference schedule starting in 2016. So a totally different look to the Big Ten conference in general. I'm sure that they would like to rethink that Rutgers pick, but you know they still get the television markets of New York and Jersey, so maybe they will. It's not all bad with that. James Harrison signs with the Cincinnati Bengals. Harrison, of course, spent all of his career basically with the Pittsburgh Steelers, was Defensive Player of the Year back in 2008, the last year Steelers won a Super Bowl. Harrison been fighting some injuries the past couple years and some age as well. But I still think that he can be an effective player. Cincinnati has a very good defense. Mike Zimmer is one of the best defensive coordinators in the league. Cincinnati's been a top 10 defense the past couple of years. They've been in the playoffs the past couple of years. So I think he definitely helped them and, you know, keep them in the division. But the only thing about this is, you know, based on past history, when Pittsburgh lets someone go, especially on the defense end, that player is normally done. You know, there's been a number of players that Pittsburgh, on the defensive side of football, that Pittsburgh has let go. And they have done nothing, and I mean nothing, for the next team that they played for. So that'll be very interesting to see what he does moving forward with the Bengals. Pittsburgh does not keep guys who can still produce. 347-215-6180. Is your call number. When we return, NFL schedules come out. We'll talk about that. And we'll also break down the NBA playoff matchups as well. This is the Serial Quinn Review. We'll be right back. After 11 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Serial Court Review, 347-215-6180. NFL schedule came out Thursday. Much anticipated NFL schedule always comes out basically a week before the draft. The Washington Redskins, my Washington Redskins, have five, count them, five primetime games. They will kick off the season week one hosting the Philadelphia Eagles. And then the funny thing about that game is, who's going to be the quarterbacks? For both teams. I mean, Kirk Cousins, RG3, for the Redskins, Michael Vick, and whoever else for Nick Foles, or somebody else, even somebody else for the Eagles, or they draft, what the Eagles end up drafting Geno Smith? How about that? So, you know, we don't know who is going to be the quarterbacks for either one of those teams. But that's how the Redskins will start this season. Very interesting. The Redskins have two key parts of this season. They're going to open with Philly, then go to Green Bay, Detroit at home, at Oakland. Pretty decent beginning. I mean, they could do 2-1, 2-2, 3-1 in that beginning. At Green Bay, home to Detroit will not be easy. At Oakland, you should. I don't care who is. I can quarterback, and they should beat the Raiders. The key part of their season comes starting after the bye week. The bye week is in week five, which is fine, which will be October 6th. Yeah, October 6th, that weekend. And that's fine. You know, you don't want to have the bye week too late. You don't want to have it too early. I think second weekend, week five, week six is important. There's normally a good time for your bye week. You know, you got a month of football under your belt. So after the bye week, they go at Dallas, Chicago, at Denver, San Diego, at Minnesota. That is brutal. That's a brutal stretch. Because I think San Diego is going to be much improved. Now, I don't think they're going to be so improved to where they're the best team in football, as one Eric Weddle wants to say. But, you know, whatever. But they're going to be improved. They're going to be a better football team than they were last year, I feel. At Denver, at Minnesota, you know, it's never easy, of course. Chicago at home. I think Chicago will have a relatively good year. Not saying going to be great, but that's never an easy game playing the Bears. And of course, at Dallas, division rival, we know what those games can be like. That's to me the key stretch of the Redskins season. Then you have a brutal ending at Atlanta, home to Dallas. At the Giants on the Sunday night game, which could be a flex. That, depending on how good the Giants and Redskins are, that could actually be a flex game if NBC chooses so. But I doubt it. I think at the end of the season that both the Redskins and Giants will definitely have something to play for, and that game will have a lot of meaning. So there you go with the Redskins schedule. Again, it's too early to. We don't know. I don't know how good the Redskins are going to be. I frankly don't know how good some of these teams on their schedule are going to be. But it's always fun to look ahead to their schedule. And of course, the Redskins are always going to have a tough schedule because they play in a division where, you know, you don't have any bad teams in that division other than the Eagles. I think the Eagles are a bad football team right now. But even the Eagles being a bad football team, I still think the Eagles have talent that can scare you on any given Sunday. So I think you have, Dallas is a quality team. Giants are who they are. They're a Super Bowl. I think they're going to be back to being a Super Bowl caliber team. And then, you know, you have the Philadelphia Eagles, which are probably one of the best worst teams in football, if that makes sense. One of the best. The Eagles are one of the best last place, maybe the best last place team in all football in terms of the divisions. Of course, NFL schedule will have Thursday night football will return. I don't. The best Thursday night game is Saints Falcons. That's by far and away the best one on November 21st. Baltimore and Denver will kick off the season. I've already gone over how ridiculous it is for these defending Super Bowl champions to start on the road, but we're not going to go through that again. But that will be Thursday, September 5th. So that actually, you can make a case that actually is the best Thursday night game. But That's not the NFL Network's Thursday night game. That Baltimore Denver game will be on NBC. I believe it will be on NBC. So you have that. All the Week 17 games will be divisional games, which you like to see. You like to see, you know, teams fight for playoff spots and division titles, playing against other teams within that division. So not so that stays the course as being a part of the NFL schedule. So certainly looking forward to the season, which is still a ways away. But you know, when that NFL schedule comes out, you start to get a sense, and the draft is coming up Thursday, you start to get a sense that, you know, football is kind of creeping in a bit, and you know, before you know it, you'll have OTAs and then training camp, and then, you know, September 5th will be right around the corner. So there you go with the Washington Redskins schedule. And of course, I'm not giving you any predictions on the Redskins seasons too. It's April. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we will break down the NBA matchups. I'll give you my prediction on each series. We'll be right back. I'm going to tell you how to become a billionaire. Okay, real quick. Invent something. Invent a medicine that completely wipes out allergies. I'm telling you. The allergy season this year, the pollen has been ridiculous. If you can invent, I've seen more people sneezing and sniffling and red eyes than I've ever seen in my life working, whether I'm with coworkers or just people in general, including myself, and I've had them forever, since I was a kid, with allergies around this time of year. If you want to invent, I'm telling you, you want to become a quick billionaire, overnight billionaire, invent something that completely wipes out allergies. That's how, I mean, you will make not millions, billions of dollars. Just wanted to get that out real quick. Of course, the NBA playoffs begin today. We're going to go through the matchups we'll go through today's schedule, and then we'll go through tomorrow's in terms of the matchups. First game, Boston at New York at 3 o'clock, ABC. Very tough series to pick. I think this, to me, is the most compelling of the first-round series because, it, you know, I personally think Boston was playing possum at the end of the season. I don't think that they're as bad as they played at the end of the season where they were just losing to everybody. I think Doc Rivers was playing. You know, they basically were locked into that seventh spot. First of all, second of all, there was no upside to moving up to sixth or fifth. I mean, if you move up to sixth, you still don't have home court advantage. Okay, you move up to fifth, you still don't have home court advantage, and you have the prospects of having to play the Miami Heat in the second round. You stay at seventh, they had no chance of getting a second or third spot. You stay at seventh, you avoid the Heat into the conference finals, and you can rest your players, and you don't have to play, and you're playing a Knicks team. Frankly, let's be honest with you, as well as the Knicks have played this season, in particular the last six weeks of the season, they have not, this group as a group has never won a playoff series. Okay? And the Knicks as a team, as a franchise, haven't won a playoff series since, 2001? Or 2000. 2000, they were eliminated in the first round 2001 to Toronto. So, I think that, I like the Knicks in this series, to be honest with you. I think this is a seven-game series written all over it. I think Boston is playing possum. I think Boston's playing possum. I think this is going to be a knockdown, drag-out series. This is a great first-round series for the Knicks to prepare them because it's going to test them every which way, mentally, physically. If you want to become a championship team, and the Knicks are not that far away from being a championship team, this is the type of series that you have to get through. To me, the difference in this series, is who's not going to be here, and that's Rajon Rondo. All year long, there's even a time over the course of the season where people thought that Rajon Rondo, was the Celtics were better without Rondo, which was just absolutely just asinine and ridiculous. This is where you're going to miss Rondo, because Rondo in the postseason the past 3 years, Rondo has been the dominant player in the postseason the past 3 years, cumulatively. Look at 2010, 11, and 12. Now, those 3 years you've had LeBron dominating a postseason. You've had Dirk Nowitzki dominating a postseason. You've had Kobe Bryant dominating a postseason. But cumulatively, over the course of those three past four seasons, it has been the Rajon Rondo show against the best competition, against everybody. He's been a triple-double waiting to happen. They're going to miss that. You don't replace that. Your floor general, a guy who can go out there on any given night and get you 16, 12, and 13 and be disruptive on the defense end. Avery Bradley, best on-the-ball defender in the NBA, but Avery Bradley is not Rajon Rondo. It's from an offensive standpoint. So that, to me, is, I think, what is the difference in this series. So I like the Knicks in seven. Golden State, Denver. If you love up-tempo, fast-paced, 80-style basketball in terms of scoring, this is the series for you. Denver comes in banged up a little bit. No Gallinari. They're going to have Ty Lawson back. I like Golden State in this series. I'm going to tell you why. I believe Golden State, number one, has the best player on the court. I think Stephon Curry, is becoming a star. I think this guy is going to become one of the greatest NBA shooters ever. I think when it's said and done, he's going to break. If he stays healthy, he's going to break Ray Allen's three-point record for most three-point field goals made. He's the best pure shooter in basketball. Golden State has played well. They had a little bad stretch in February, March, but they've bounced back. I like this Golden State team. They can score. Denver does not guard anybody. Okay, Denver does not guard anybody. And the question is, if the game does settle into a half court, who's better in the half court in those last 2 or 3 minutes? And I feel that with a David Lee, with the shooters that Golden State have, they can space you out and I think they're going to miss Gallinari. I think Denver's going to miss Gallinari because they're going to need all the scoring that they're going to need all the scoring that they can muster up against a Golden State team. I like this Golden State team a lot. I think Golden State wins it in six. I cannot pick Golden State in seven because I don't think they will win a game seven in Denver. But I like Golden State in six in one of the most entertaining series that you will ever see, to be honest with you, for a first round. Chicago at Brooklyn, another pick-em series. Noah is banged up. I expect him to play in the series. I just don't know how effective he's going to be. Brooklyn, I don't trust. I mean, this is a very tough series to pick. I'm going to lean towards Brooklyn because of the home court advantage. I would not be shocked or surprised if Chicago beats them because, number one, they have a great, great coach in Tom Thibodeau, who's a playoff-tested coach. You have a lot of these guys who are on the team that went to the East Conference Finals a couple of years ago. I'm still, Brooklyn, you don't know which Brooklyn team is going to show up. Brooklyn has the better team on paper. We all know this with Darren Williams, Brook Lopez, and Joe Johnson. But Chicago plays great defense. Chicago's built for the playoffs. They rebound. They bang you on the boards. They defend. You're going to have to earn it against Chicago. I'll take Brooklyn in seven games, but would not be surprised if Chicago won it in six. Memphis at the Clippers in a series that has a tremendous amount of pressure on the Clippers. Think about this. Clippers don't win this series. Chris Paul can walk. Now, it's been quiet because Chris Paul has handled, unlike Dwight Howard, he's not talking about free agency every 2 weeks. I have to give Dwight Howard a little bit of credit because he actually hasn't brought it up basically in almost a month or so, so he can get some credit for that. But Chris Paul, if Chris Paul doesn't like what he sees after this series, he has a chance to walk, and then Clippers will basically be starting over from scratch. I like Memphis in this series, to be honest with you, even though Clippers have home court. I think Memphis is built for the playoffs. I like their bigs. I think Mike Conley has improved his game. I don't like the Clippers' defense. Now, Chris Paul does have a distinct advantage over Mike Conley. We understand that. But, again, here's the problem with the Clippers. Chris Paul beats this man. He's going to be running to 2 7-footers. You do not have to double off either DeAndre Jordan or Blake Griffin. You could just play them straight up. When Blake Griffin becomes a dominant low post player, that's when the Clippers will go to another level. I have not seen enough of that this year that Griffin has improved his post game to that level to where he can take this franchise to the next step to another level. I haven't seen that this year out of Blake Griffin. He's a very good player. He's a super athlete, but again, he's going to have his hands full with those two beasts they got in the middle in Gasol and Zebo, Zach Randolph. I like Memphis in six games. Atlanta, Indiana tomorrow. This is a series that, to me, that Indiana will flat out dominate. I don't like Atlanta at all. Atlanta did a good job just to make the playoffs. Now, they will have some cap space in the summer, so they made the right move in terms of trading Joe Johnson, but I just don't like this Atlanta team. I think Indiana wins this in five. Lakers, San Antonio, very interesting series. San Antonio is banged up. No Kobe Bryant. I think San Antonio is going to win this series, but I think it's going to be a tough. I think the Lakers have a little momentum here going into the playoffs. I think playing without Kobe would allow the Lakers to play loose. They won't feel the pressure to win as they would if they did have Kobe. Now, you got to have Kobe and the pressure. But I think the Lakers will play loose. San Antonio is banged up. I think the Lakers can handle Duncan inside. The question is Tony Parker. If Tony Parker is Tony Parker, this will be a quick series, very short. I'm talking five games. I don't know. I'm not sure Tony Parker can dominate based on the injuries, based on how banged up he is. We know how banged up Ginobili is. San Antonio's role players have had a habit of looking like superstars in the regular season and then choking in the postseason. Keep your eye on that. San Antonio in six games, though. Miami-Milwaukee, I'm not even going to talk about. You know that's what that series is. Miami in two. Okay. Houston-Oklahoma City, very entertaining series. The James Harden reunion tour. Houston will get one game because James Harden will go out there and get 45 one night, and Oklahoma City will take a night off defensively. But I don't see Houston getting more than one game. Very entertaining series. There'll be a lot of up and down play. That favors Oklahoma City. Westbrook, Durant will dominate the series. Hugh, Oklahoma City in five. So those are my predictions in terms of my playoff matchups for the first round of the NBA playoffs. A couple notes on the NBA as well. You see Lawrence Frank and Byron Scott both lose their jobs. Lawrence Frank understandable. But again, terrible. Detroit has an awful team. Now, they do have some nice talent, low post talent with Greg Monroe and Andre Drummond. Okay. So they have nice two nice big men that he can build around for the future. I don't understand Byron side getting fired from Cleveland when, number one, you had a bad team coming into the season. You lose Anderson Varejao, who was having a, you know, I think he was playing center. He would have been, if he was playing center, he was having an all-NBA caliber season. He was averaging like 14-14. He's leading the league in rebounding and had improved his offensive game to where he was making a 15-footer on a consistent basis. You know, they lose him basically in November, late November, early December. So people forget about that injury. Kyrie Irving, as great as he's been, has, you know, cannot stay out the nurse's office. You know, he's been banged up. So I don't understand how that is Byron Scott's fault, to be honest with you. Dan Gilbert does not have a clue whatsoever. You know, these are just bad franchises with bad teams. I don't know what you expect out of these teams when, I don't care who's coaching their team. I know you can bring Phil Jackson, you can bring Red Holtzman. It doesn't matter. When teams are this bad, I mean, maybe a great coach is worth 3 or 4 extra wins, but they're not going to get you in the playoffs. Not with those rosters. Now, if the Clippers want to go out there and fire Vinny Del Negro, because if he loses in the first round, fine, because you have a talented roster on your hands and you have home court advantage. That's understandable. And you have talent. But to fire coaches who coach teams with no, basically who don't have talent, who you know coming into the season that these teams are going to be in a lottery around draft time, it makes no sense to me. It makes zero sense. How about fire the general managers who are putting together these rosters? General managers in the NBA do not take enough blame for the makeup of some of these rosters, for some of these moves, for the cap, you know, for the financial situation, you know, in terms of cap space or lack of cap space that these teams have. They do not take enough of a hit. And who gets fired? The coaches. So, two just mysterious. Lawrence Frank. But what could you expect out of Detroit? But the Byron Scott one makes zero sense to me. When we return, we will get into some entertainment news, big news for some Star Wars fans. That's coming up and much, much more on this last edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back. Thank you. 2 minutes after 11 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Serial Crew Review. Some entertainment news here. Lauryn Hill evicted, has been sued by a New Jersey landlord for an eviction. One of the saddest stories, if you're a fan of music, just that you'll ever hear. Lauryn Hill, she comes out with Mr. Education of Lauryn Hill back in 1998, my first year at Temple University. That's why it kind of stands out. This is one of, I mean, this album was one of the most, just, this is one of the best albums of the decade, of the 90s, period, of any genre, rock, pop, whatever, R&B. And Lauryn Hill was supposed to be just the next, the first. She wasn't going to be the next anything. She was going to be the first. I mean, she can rap as well as sing. So she was going to just take over music. And to see where she's at right now, I mean, she doesn't have a career. I mean, I can't even say that her career is in the dumps because she doesn't have a career. And to hear, you know, when I read about this story in Huffington Post, it's just, I mean, you just shake, all you can do is just shake your head. Because you're talking about, I mean, she is supposed to be right now, at this point, this would have been basically 15, 16 years, 14 years later. She's supposed to be one of the just legends of music, period. And again, whatever personal issues she had, I don't know, whatever relationships and things that went on to take her out of the music game, it's one of the biggest waste of talents I've ever seen in music, ever. And it's not even close, ever. So to see her at this state, at this point, is very sad. I hope, hope that she gets her life back in order. Forget about making music and albums and things of that nature. Just hope that she gets her life back in order. And it'll be nice to hear another album, to be honest with you. But this is a sad story. She's being sued by her landlord and being evicted out of her apartment. Breaking Bad's coming back for the second half of season 5 on August 11th. A little later than what it's normally been. Normally Breaking Bad is around July, middle of July, so they're going to push it back. Last 8 episodes of what has been one of the best television series ever, to be honest with you. It's been that good of a series, so it's going to conclude with the last 8 episodes starting August 11th. Starting 2015, Star Wars is going to run consecutive movies for basically 5 straight years. They're going to come out with, episodes 8 through, I'm assuming 8 through 12. Episodes 8 through 12. I think it's going to be, the focus is going to be on young Han Solo. And I'm certain, and listen, Star Wars has storylines for days. So they, trust me, they have enough material to last a lifetime. So that'll be, if you're a Star Wars fan, the great thing about this is normally you have to wait, you know, a movie comes out of Star Wars this magnitude and you have to wait 3 to 4 years for it to get released. Excuse me. Normally a movie comes out of Star Wars this magnitude and then you have to wait 2 to 3 to 4 years for it to come out, for the next one to come out. If they're quality, then you're in for a treat if you're a Star Wars fan. And it's hard to mess up Star Wars. I mean, how can you mess up Star Wars with the storylines? You're gonna get high level actors. You can mess it up, but it'll be very, very difficult for someone. J.J. Abrams is of course leading the charge in terms of directing. You'd be hard pressed to mess up Star Wars. So there you go with the entertainment news. Break, of course, tomorrow, Mad Men, Game of Thrones. The last 2 weeks of Game of Thrones, in terms of the endings, have been off the charts. Jamie Lannister getting his hand cut off last week. That, I didn't see that coming at all. So we'll see how it moves forward from there. Mad Men, of course, the scene that stands out. You had Don, and then then the doctor's wife, who he's cheating with, sitting at dinner reluctantly because both spouses, either had somewhere to be or Don's wife is sick. Doctor gets a call and there you go. You have two adulterers sitting at the table having dinner. So very interesting to see from that standpoint. Still not enough Joan if you're a Mad Men fan. They're starting to annoy me now. They're just not showing enough Christina Hendricks. Though she did have a funny line when she told the dude who she had to sleep with in order to get the deal. That was a great line, a funny line that she had. Told him he hasn't seen parts. He has parts that he's never seen. That was hilarious. But you need more Christina Hendricks. I mean, that's all there is to it. When we return, we'll end the program how we began, with the aftermath of the Boston Marathon bombings. Court suspect caught. We'll talk about that when we return on this latest edition of the Central Court Review. We'll be right back. Whoever people above them saying, if you get caught, either, you know, go out, to go out in a blaze of glory, or just don't, or don't talk if you get arrested. I'm assuming that there was just no exit plan in terms of what was going to happen once they, you know, from the time they blew up the Boston Marathon to the time that from what was supposed to happen after that, because to stay in the same area and then to go rob and not even laying low, you go rob a 7-Eleven or attempt to rob a 7-Eleven, you carjack a Mercedes, you do two things to draw more attention to yourself, then you already have the whole entire country, or definitely the entire city of Boston police force on your tail. It's just, it's scary because, you know, what could some real criminals do? And it makes you believe, you know, you want to call, it makes you believe that, I just saw something funny here. I'm not even going to mention it, but I just saw something that just blew my mind. But bear with me here. But it makes you believe that they were just small pawns of a something possibly bigger. Now, hopefully nothing, you know, more occurs in the near future. But I can't believe that these two guys were the master criminals and were the brains behind this whole thing. It's impossible for me to believe, because it was not well thought out after once it was done. I mean, you know, obviously the execution of it worked out from the standpoint of, you know, they killed a couple of people and they scared the nation, scared the area, scared the nation. So that, you know, that was mission accomplished from that standpoint. But, you know, to stay in the Boston area just to me made no sense. Seth, obviously, you know, four lives were lost. You had, you know, the three people at the Boston Marathon, including a young boy, and then you had a MIT officer shot and killed in a shootout on Thursday. So you had four lives lost. You have, again, but just millions, thousands upon thousands affected, millions affected, as far as I'm concerned, because what it does is it rears, you know, terrorism, again, rears its ugly head. I mean, we talk about, you know, we as Americans bitch and moan about our money and the economy and gas prices and grocery store prices and, you know, immigration and things of that magnitude. And then you see something like this happen, and then it brings it all back into focus on what, you know, what really still needs to be one of the primary focuses, and that is terrorism. And again, understand that, you know, terroristic threats are made hourly, you know, in terms of the president getting his life threatened and our country saying, you know, this, a terrorist saying he's going to blow up this airport, he's going to blow up this plane, going to blow up this, going to blow up that. That happens all the time. We just, of course, don't hear about it. So it brings it back into focus. Again, hats off to the Boston police who are working, I'm sure around the clock trying to catch these guys. They, you know, killed one of them, they catch the other. So they obviously got the job done from that standpoint. Condolences certainly to all the families who lost somebody, or to not only the families who lost somebody, but even if you were there and had to witness that and had to see that right in person, I mean, that's something that could shake you for a lifetime. And of course, the irony of this situation is the guy is caught on the anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombings that took place on April 19th, 1995. So, again, a scary, scary situation. And hopefully I don't want to see another terroristic act, but you get the sense that, you know, this could possibly be something, a start of something, or something else. Hopefully it's not. Hopefully this, you know, they can get information from the guy who, by the way, was severely wounded. So I don't know how much information they'll be able to get from him. He's still in the hospital. He's in serious condition, as been reported last night and this morning as well. So we'll see what happens with that. But to the city of Boston, thoughts and prayers, you're in our thoughts and in our prayers. No question. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. Remember, enjoy the NBA playoffs and enjoy your week. NFL draft is coming up. I'll see you soon.